Welcome back to the second week of the series that is out of the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts because it tells us how to live. And as a kid, I was a kid that was constantly acting out. And I think many times, and I said this last week, like, we don't know exactly how to act out, how to live out our Christian faith. And so last week we just talked about that. It's really, it's surrendering and living a life of servitude, but mainly living by the Spirit of God. And when we do, like, God sets up divine appointments where people who are in places of brokenness, who need healing, like God pierces their hearts and brings healing. And so today we're going to look at Acts chapter 3, because it's such a wonderful picture for like the practical, like, oh, 1, 2, 3, here is how we should live. And we're looking at it through this example of how Peter, who's kind of the head of the church, he would be, I guess, maybe the first pastor of the church. We see him and how he interacts with a really broken world. And so for us, I think it's a great picture of how we should act, how we should live in a broken world. So let's jump right in. It's chapter 3, verse 1. It says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. Okay, this is my first point. They prayed. Peter and John and the first church, as we read through the book of Acts, they understood the power of prayer. They faithfully and regularly prayed. And that is something that we cannot take for granted. God has called us as a church to pray that we wake up and we're, Lord, help us to be what you've called us to be. Lord, help us to see what you see. Lord, help us to be able to surrender everything and give to you all that we need to give to you. Lord, help us to be able to see the mission that you've placed us on. The bottom line is we're called to be people of prayer. And I think it's, at least for me, it's easier to read. Because I love reading. I read for fun. I don't even have internet at my house, and we have poor cell service because we read. That's kind of what my family does. Like, I just love to read. I love, like, when I talk, I see words in my mind. I love words. So I've had to recognize that the power and the discipline of prayer. They went to the three. That's what it says. They went to the temple to take part in the prayer service. It was a discipline. Prayer for them was a discipline. And for us, prayer's a discipline. That's not necessarily a bad thing either. Like, I have to discipline myself to spend time with my wife, to take her out on a date, to listen to her heart. Like, there are disciplines that if I don't intentionally do things, I might miss something great. Well, I tell you what, I'm so grateful for the fact that I do listen to my wife's heart, take her out on a date, because I'd be missing some good stuff. And I just can't help but wonder if many Christians miss the goodness and the grace of God in their life because they're not going to the place of prayer or going to the place where there's going to be prayer or with the people who are going to be praying. Remember, more is caught than is taught. And if you want to be someone who has a vibrant prayer life, hang around people who pray and pray with them. They're on their way there. So that's really the first thing. What are we called to do? We're called to pray. That's number one. Like, we're called to pray. It says, so they're going to the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Very simple setup. But verse 4 is interesting to me. It says, Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. This is what I want us to get, that we are called to see, not like the world sees, but to see what God has for us in any given situation. So they're going to the prayer meeting, they're going to the place of prayer, and there's this beggar that's being carried in because he wants to beg from people who are going, they're going to church. And so as Peter and John walk by him, they stop and they look intently at him. And then they say to him, you, look at us. Because we're called to look at things that other people just pass by. This is how we're to live out our faith, to not just like scan over the broken or walk by or just throw a dollar bill. Peter says, he says, look at us. They're looking at him intently. He's like, he's looking at him. And the guy's not looking at him. And then he says, hey, look at us. And he looks at him. Peter and John do what everybody else won't do. Everybody else just walks by. Maybe they throw him a coin or two. Maybe they give him some food. But Peter and John don't do that. They see him. They do more than see him. They look at him. They say, look at us. And then here's what they say. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. Can I tell you? That's not a wrong expectation. It's a normal expectation. It's what this man had been conditioned, that when people go into church, come by, he's going to get something physical from them. Like, they're going to give him money. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 5:16, let people see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. But if we're not really going to feed their soul and we're just going to feed them a hamburger or they just give them some money, maybe we're missing the bigger picture, because I really believe that what Jesus, even in Matthew 5:16, is calling us to is not simply meeting physical needs, but recognizing that we see the spirit of that person and that we reach them in the place of their pain more than just give them a drink or give them some food or give them some money. And I hope you're tracking with me on this, because they say, look at us. And the lame man looks at them eagerly expecting some money. And this is Peter's response. He says, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Peter was able to see the real condition of that man. Yes, he was lame, but there was healing that needed to take place, and he knew who could heal him, and it wasn't Peter, it was Jesus. So he says, I'm going to give you something. Here's my question to you. Do you give? Do you have enough faith to give? And I know you're like, oh, Pastor, you're going to the money thing. Well, first of all, it's true. Like, giving financially is an act of faith, but I'm talking way more than that. What do I give to the people around me? Do I give a harsh word? Do I give criticism? Or do I give something that's going to bring them from a place where they've had trouble walking through some things and bring them to a place of life? Because we're called to be people of prayer, but we're called to see people, to see the things that other people don't see and see that there's a spiritual need, and then to give of ourselves to bring them to a place where they can walk out of the junk, the funk, the sin, the misery that they're in. Peter says, look at me. The man's like, huh? And he says, I don't have any silver, I don't have any gold, but I'm going to give you what I do have. He had the power of God inside of him to see that man who couldn't walk stand up and walk. And maybe you don't have a gift of healing, maybe you do, but maybe you don't have that gift of healing, but you can help somebody who's having trouble in life walking through the things that they're walking through, and you can say, I see where you are. And listen, I'm going to do what I can, but I'm basically just going to invite you to get up and meet Jesus, because he has a place of healing and wholeness for you. That's what he says. It says, get up and walk. He tells the man who is lame to get up and walk. And what faith that took. What faith. He knew, because of his relationship with Jesus, he knew the power of God was with him, and it didn't have anything to do with Peter. It had everything to do with God, but he believed. And he said, get up and walk. He tells the man, get up and walk. But apparently that didn't happen, because it says, then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And I wonder, I don't think Peter like stumbled at all. I think he had enough faith to believe that that man could get up and walk. But the man didn't move. Why? Because he was lame. He was crippled. He couldn't walk. And so Peter helped him up. He reached out, he touched him, he grabbed him, and he picked him up. This is how we're to live out our faith, from prayer. Do you see the progression? Being in the presence of God and hearing from him. Prayer. seeing the brokenness of people, but knowing, having the faith. Like, I see, but I can give something that I know is going to bring them to a place of wholeness. And then he gave him himself and he helped him. He took him by the hand. The person everybody walked by, the person that people probably avoided. Come on, you know you often avoid that guy that's standing there with the sign. Like, I've given those guys money. I've prayed for them as well. But can I tell you, like, we're called to see them and then to give of ourselves. He helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. And he jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God as he went into the temple with them. I circled, and as he did. And it's for me. So it says, get up and walk. Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, see that, so the grammar guy in me, the English major guy in me comes out and says, and as he did, see, he is an unclear pronoun reference. You know what that means? That means, I don't know if he's talking about the he refers to the lame man or if it refers to Peter. And I'm thinking maybe it refers to both because that lame man had to be a participant and receive help. Peter helping him up, and as he did that, he was healed. Or maybe it was Peter that as Peter reached out and grabbed the hand and said, hey, and helped him. Maybe that was it. I don't know. I know this, that we're better together. Ecclesiastes tells us that. The Bible clearly shows us that. When we are in the place of prayer in the presence of God, we're able to see people clearly. When we give of ourselves and we reach out a helping hand to those who are in need and can't walk, let me tell you what happens. The power of God shows up. It wasn't Peter. Peter didn't drag him around and say, look, he's walking. Peter simply reached out. And at the same time, that man had to reach out his hand. Both of them were believing that there was a God moment there. And when their hands met and Peter pulled and that guy pulled back, something miraculous happened that was bigger than both of them. It was the power of God that showed up and the man's ankles and legs were straightened and healed up and he stood up. Then he walked. Then he jumped. And guess where he went? He followed Peter and John into the temple. Wow, what a picture for how we are to live in a place of prayer, to see people as God sees them. Everybody else saw a beggar. God saw a man who was going to be an unbelievable worshiper, to give of ourselves. I'm just saying, if I see the picture in my mind, Peter had to have some tremendous faith because the temple was crowded. Get up and walk. And the guy's just laying there. He's like, I'm sure the guy's thinking, bro, I'm crippled. What are you doing? And then Peter reaches out his hand, that act of faith. That man reaches his hand up and God meets him. So here's the thing. Like, I think so often we don't see God moments because we don't have the faith that God, who helps us walk, will help somebody else walk. Because we just fail to see him because we haven't been in the place His presence in prayer. Because let's read on. In verse 9, it says, all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. So now he's jumped up. His legs have been straightened. He goes from his legs straightened and reaches up, legs straightened. He's standing, then he's walking, then he's leaping and praising, and everybody sees it. It's a packed temple. It says, when they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade. This is like the outdoor porch where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Look at verse 12. And Peter saw his opportunity. Because listen to me, when we're in the place of prayer, when we're able to see people as God sees them and not just walk by and we see the brokenness, but we believe that we've got something. It's not us. It's the power of God with us and through us that we give, that we have now an opportunity, not just to see them healed, but to see an opportunity for us to go and be a light to so many. And so Peter saw his opportunity and he addressed the crowd. He says, what's so surprising about this? Why stare at us as though we'd made this man walk by our power? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he begins to tell the story of Jesus. And we see again a move of God and the foundation of even a greater increase in the church. And here's my heart, that you grow spiritually. Like, man, church growth, like people can get so excited because people show up to a service. That's good. That's not what excites God. What excites God is when people know that God's going to show up wherever they are, and that they know that because they've spent time in prayer. They begin to see the world around them differently. And instead of focusing on the brokenness, that they're able to see the power of God at work before it even happens. That's what Peter and John did. That's why Peter said, hey, look at me. Because he knew that he had something to give because he had been in the presence of someone who had given him something. And the miraculous took place. And Peter realized that even in that healing, that gift, that amazing thing, that his responsibility was still to go and tell people about the good news. And that's what we're called to, the good news. That Jesus takes broken people and brings them to a place of healing. I want to see that. I want to see that over and over and over. And not just me, but like, how exciting is it to see you or somebody sitting in a pew down from you if you're at church that you know that like, oh my gosh, I know that person with them. There's something that happens when we begin to spend time in the presence of God and believe that he's going to transform lives, and broken, crippled people begin to walk and be healed. What a story. And maybe you're like Peter, but you're like, the not Peter. And you go, I need faith like that. I want to pray for you and just remind you, God's going to use you if you let him. More is caught than is taught. So spend time in his presence and you're going to catch the truth of how big he is, and you'll be able to speak that to other people. Or maybe you're the broken person who can't walk, and I'm telling you today that Jesus is speaking to you. I'm speaking to you and saying, there's healing. And it comes from him. That's the first thing Peter stands up when he says, hey, it wasn't us. It was Jesus. And the same's true for you. Maybe you're there and you're like, I need that. Whether it's more faith or maybe it's you need a touch from Jesus, I want to pray for you. If that's you, just pray with me. Say, Jesus, I believe you. You can bring healing and wholeness. You can bring forgiveness. You can bring a whole new life. So I surrender my life to you, Jesus. I turn from my sins and I turn to you. I surrender all of me to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And listen, if you prayed that, that is the very beginning of an awesome new journey. It's the first step. Man, I want to see you continue to make step after step and grow and go in what God has for you. Let us know what he's doing. Reach out, Facebook messages, click on the connect card so that we can find out what's going on. I want to help you. I want to help bring resources and people alongside you to encourage you in your walk with him. Man, it's great being with you. I hope that you're reading the book of Acts and that we can act out what we're reading, knowing that God's with us. Look forward to seeing you soon. God bless.